Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into another episode of the podcast, Keeping It Real with Chris Norris, a podcast where we have real conversations with some really great people. Today, I'm excited to talk with some people that are very closely connected to the coronavirus outbreak. And this is a hot topic. It's been a hot topic for several months, but specifically now in our world, we're talking a lot about returning to school. So I've been trying to talk to principals and some teachers, and today I'm talking to some Department of Health experts here in Erie, Pennsylvania, about some of the steps that schools are taking and even how parents can take in sending their kids back to school if they're choosing to go that route, how they can do that safely. So this conversation is fantastic. Don't forget, if you could, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, leave a rating and review. At the very least, make sure you share this podcast episode on your social feeds. I think it's going to be helpful to a lot of people. So please enjoy my conversation today with Brianna Adams and David George of the Erie County Department of Health. Brianna Adams is the Director of Environmental Health Services, and David George is supervisor, both of them working with the Erie County Department of Health. Guys, thank you. You must be two of the busiest people I have talked with lately. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yep, no problem.
Brianna is here in person. We are, I assure you, practicing social distancing, but David is on the phone, so he is calling in, so we are connected virtually with him. So we're excited to talk today. I want to give you guys both an opportunity, though, as we start our conversation today, to talk about what each of you do specifically in your roles with the Erie County Department of Health. Why don't we start with you, Dave?
Sure. So before COVID-19, as a supervisor, we kind of divided up within the environmental division our tasks. So Brianna was more focused on the food and the schools aspect of the normal operations, while I was more focused on the wastewater treatment systems and clean drinking water, kind of a partner with the Department of Environmental Protection. We're subcontracted through them to do some of their work. So that was our primary focus, and then small flow treatment facilities, which are kind of like on-lot systems, but almost like a miniature sewage treatment plant. So I focused on those. And then once COVID hit, it kind of went a little hectic, and we had to change course a little bit.
Didn't we all? That's like an understatement, Dave.
Yeah.
Brianna, what about you? Talk about your role.
Sure. So in the environmental division, we have 18 staff who oversee like 10 different programs. So normally a lot of people know us for our regulatory programs. We inspect restaurants, schools, pools, campgrounds, mobile home parks, body art parlors. We have beach programs and mosquito programs. And so we stay busy all the time. And that's our main, I guess, focus in the environmental division is our regulatory programs.
Awesome. So, yeah, you guys, your world's definitely changed a lot about 3 months ago. And oddly enough, Brianna had just welcomed her first child into the world before all this went down. But that's a whole nother episode, I'm sure. But talk about, Brianna, like, what was the very first, you know, I guess at the core level here, what was your instinctual reaction as someone who's worked, you know, with the Department of Health when you saw or even heard about COVID for the first time? Like, I feel like it was beginning of 2020 when we had heard the term, you know, the novel coronavirus, and we were talking about it and we were thinking maybe it would never affect our world, but it drastically has. So as someone who lives in this world of public health, what were your initial thoughts about everything?
So my very first thoughts were I was nervous about it, but also kind of cognizant that, you know, we've heard of other things happening before, like Zika virus, for instance. So I oversee our mosquito program, and I remember a few years ago when Zika virus came, and we were all very, very worried. And as we learned more, it was more localized and only affecting certain people or certain populations. I think I even asked some of our staff if we could do a presentation, you know, after COVID was over, and not knowing that COVID would last as long as it has or as long as it is. So that was when it very first started. The first people involved are, you know, our epidemiologists, our public health preparedness people. And then I left, and I was not there for 3 months. So I came back in the middle of May, right before we were going green. and well, no, I guess a while before we still went green, and was just learning, you know, what all of our staff, every single staff person in the health department had changed roles, and just really seeing the effect that it's having on our staff, but also on our community, has been a whirlwind.
Sure. And David, what was step one for you when you heard about the virus? I mean, you obviously described your role pre-COVID and how that has evolved, but I guess what was your initial reaction and pivot in your role with the Department of Health when this kind of came to reality, not only regionally, but even right here in our neck of the woods in Erie, Pennsylvania?
So we kind of saw it coming. The health department was aware of it when it was in China in those first few cases that hit the West Coast. I still remember I was in a meeting when our epidemiologist came in and said, there's two confirmed in the state of Pennsylvania. So that's when it started to get real. And then I think it was March 16th. That was the day that Erie County declared a disaster declaration. We hadn't had any cases in the county yet, and I think that was a pretty proactive step that we did. And with that declaration, I remember we only takeout was allowed at restaurants. And that was well before the first case, so I think we did a good job really preparing for any COVID outbreak that comes through. And then from that day forward, March 16th, it was a whirlwind. When their red phase came and only essential businesses could remain open, that was very difficult. We were getting complaints about all these businesses that were open and then whether they should be open or not. Had to speak with our lawyer a lot. It was a very confusing time. And we're working on weekends and just trying to get the whole community to cooperate with the essential businesses. But yeah, it was March 16th.
Wow. Seems March 16th feels like 5 years ago, but it was only about four months ago. It's crazy. So, David, you know, you talked about the first phase of this was making sure people were complying. And that came with struggles and probably continues to come with some struggles. And you said that, you know, obviously a lot of people were unhappy and you dealt with a lot of complaints, but now you guys have really over the last several months moved into more of an educational phase with making sure everybody's doing their part to mitigate COVID, to wear a mask, to keep social distancing. What has your role been in that process, if any, with educating people specifically, not just within the school systems that we'll talk about later, but just all around us in our community?
Yeah, our main goal is just to educate and inform the public on all the mitigation efforts that have been released by the state. And that can be difficult. It seems like every week or once every 2 weeks, there's a new order or guidelines released by the state. And our main goal is to read through those and try to let the public know what the state wants. Sometimes they're not super, they're a little vague. So sometimes you have to interpret the guidelines a little bit. For example, the sporting events, it kind of said, if you are in competition, you do not need to wear a mask. But if you're in competition and you're within 6 feet of someone, you do need to wear a mask. Sometimes the wording on the guidelines is a little interesting, but we're just trying to get through that. And then at our weekly press conferences with Kathy, if there's or the county executive, if there's anything new, we usually have a press release on the new guidelines. And really, we're just trying to inform and educate the population on what's the latest guidelines is. And it's always changing. So it's a little tricky, but we're trying to keep up with it.
Sure. I can I can imagine what a challenge that has been, even just for the common consumer such as myself, to understand what you guys are trying to relay to us, and also being empathetic to the fact that you're also trying to decipher some often gray area of information. But Brianna, you have, like we talked about before I hit record here, you have a 3-month-old, and you could probably have not have picked a more challenging time to be facing COVID as a new mother. But you know, from that perspective, maybe a little bit different than Dave's, what has been something very important that you are educating people about when it comes to the mitigation efforts of COVID-19?
I think one of the most important things is just doing what you have to do and not doing a lot of extra things. So right now, the phase that we're in, it is okay to have, you know, some people over or sit out on your deck and, you know, enjoy a nice evening, but remaining distant or wearing masks is really the important thing. You know, a lot of our family was out of town, and so we didn't have family visiting. We, you know, aren't going to many stores. I was thinking the other day, like, it's been ages since I've been anywhere, really. But, you know, we try to order groceries, and we're lucky to have that available to us. But just trying to minimize, you know, if you're going shopping, maybe taking one day and doing it instead of taking, you know, making little stops every day. Just really thinking more about how you're acting or going out in public is, I think, important.
Sure. And what, you know, tangibly, I guess, what have you done? I've seen a lot of, I guess, collateral information, I should say, like posters, flyers, social media posts, emails. What have you been a part of in the actual creation of, I say tangible, but I mean like physical, you know, pieces of information that I've seen everywhere. I've seen them on the doors of restaurants and shops, and you guys have been a part of that process. Talk about your involvement in any of that information that has been made publicly accessible for everybody.
We have. So for the first several months of the outbreak, we didn't have the extra staff available to do that. The county has one public information officer who coordinates all of the news media and social media and everything else. So we did pull in some of the other workers, say from the library or different places that weren't doing their normal jobs either, to help with those, with that output. We do have some staff now that's strictly working on COVID, and so they've been able to help us create some signage, like you said, for restaurants, for our stores. We're working on one for ball fields and sporting facilities, and really just hoping to get more of that from the state or from the CDC. They all have really great posters and information, but also how can we personalize it and make it simple for Erie?
Wonderful. Yeah, I've seen a lot of your stuff. Obviously, as someone who's connected closely to social media, like most people, that has been very helpful for me. Just to read some of the stuff that I can actually save to my phone, honestly, like saving images and things to my phone that I can use when even I'm trying to speak into that narrative with somebody who's confused, because I want to do my part as well in educating people. David, what's, in your opinion, I guess, someone else who was on the front lines of educating and informing the county on mitigation effort, what has been some of the most effective measures that you have seen as far as people being receptive to it, or people saying this information is very helpful, give us more? What's some of the stuff that you're seeing people are utilizing and finding most effective when doing their part?
Yeah, we're teaming up with community partners, such as Community Health Net, to help us get the message out there for the COVID-19 mitigation efforts. It seems that's been working pretty well. And just, yeah, trying to get as many community partners as we can, and have good relationship with them. And then also internally, we have a health equity team that has really been focusing on translating all the guidance that has come out by the state into a short, concise, easy to read document for some of those minority populations within the city of Erie. And we've been going around door to door, just dropping off some flyers, in some of the, less fortunate areas in the Erie, in the city of Erie, or minority groups, and just trying to make sure that everyone gets the information, because sometimes it's when English isn't your first language, it might be difficult to interpret or understand all the changes since they're happening so fast. So we're really trying to stay on top of that with the health equity group within the health department.
Sure. And in your opinion, Dave, what has been, with the spreading of information, what has been one of the most common misconceptions that maybe you're met with when you present this information to folks that they're saying, oh, we didn't realize that, or, oh, thank you for clearing that up, or questions they might be asking? What is kind of the one thing, if there is only one, that you could speak into that's the most, I guess, commonly misconceived piece of information? Because there's a lot of it out there, honestly. We know that. There's so much stuff. What's one thing that you've found has been, misconceived?
I guess the biggest thing was there was when we were in the yellow phase, and then we were probably the only county in the Northwest region who was in the yellow phase. And a lot of the local politicians, state senators, state representatives were really pushing for us to go green. And there was a press conference on Friday, and they were really pushing the state, the health department, to go green. And then a lot of the population was like, oh, if the state representatives want us to go green and act green, we should do it. And then we kind of had to backtrack and say, look, we're still in the yellow phase. If we were to go green against the governor and the health department or the state health department's request, we could lose some of that COVID-19 funding or CARES Act funding coming our way. So that was a challenging time. And then also with the masks, at first we didn't wear masks, then they are required. There's been a lot of changes on that. So I think masking now, at first it was a little challenging, but now since that universal masking order was released, I think people are doing a much better job of wearing masks anytime they go out in public. Just got to remember, even when we're outside, it's still required to wear a mask if you're going to be within 6 feet of anyone. But those have been the biggest challenges and misinformation we've had to deal with. And I guess there's also the Pennsylvania disaster declaration. I think the government voted to repeal that, but so that created some confusion in the community. People didn't know if it had been repealed or if it was still in effect. So right now it's still there. It's definitely helping provide funding to some of those businesses who've been impacted by COVID-19. But so there's been a lot of miscommunication. We're just trying to clear things up for the community.
Sure. Sure. And Brianna, I always like to ask people connected to COVID, which pretty much is everybody, but specifically someone like you that kind of works in this area day in and day out with educating people on a personal level, outside of your 9-to-5, what is a common, I guess, misconception or, even just in your social circles? Because I'm sure a lot of people are asking you a lot of questions, like, hey, Brianna, clear up this gray area for me. What have you been hearing outside of, the Erie County Department at a whole, and just in your social circles, your family, your friends that are saying, can you clear this up for me? What's kind of a common miss, or maybe even a few that you hear most often?
I really think just the mask thing. So right now, as David mentioned, we are under a universal mask order. And so it's crazy to me to hear people that say, oh, we went to Waldemere, but I don't think we should have to wear a mask there. Like, well, it's a universal order. So it is everywhere. And I think the best way that I heard that summed up was through our liaison to the governor's office. And she had said pretty early on, but she said, it's recommended when you leave your house. Again, as David said, if you're outside, but within 6 feet of somebody, and then it's required to go into a business. So even if it's an outside business, like an amusement park or someplace that's large, like a casino or anything like that, those masks are required to enter those businesses. And I just, there's masks available in so many different ways now. They're pretty, they're, functional. So as long as it's some kind of face covering, I think one of the misconceptions too, though, is the mask exemptions. And so there are a few people who don't have to wear masks, and that's if it would put you in danger while you're doing your job, if you're under the age of 2, or if you have some type of medical issue that would prevent you from wearing the mask into a business or anything like that. But those businesses are often providing things like curbside pickup or other things that you could utilize if you're unable to wear a mask.
Sure. And speaking of masks, I want to transition as delicately as I possible into talking about schools, because sure. That's really the hot topic right now. Obviously, we could talk hours about COVID, and we've been talking for months about COVID. But as we enter, you know, the fall here, as we are recording this at the early stages of August, I really wanted to focus a lot on schools today. And the first thing that comes to my mind as a father of a 3-year-old, as a lot of people can probably relate, if they have children, masks are an issue. It took several months to convince my son to wear his mask. As we look to return our kids to school, potentially in various fashions and formats, what do you think as far as the returning of kiddos to school is going to be one of the biggest challenges? Is masks going to be like, you know, my wife's an educator and she's like, it's going to be so hard to keep these kids in masks, to keep these kids separated. You guys are doing a wonderful job of equipping them with the resources and the best kind of strategies to do that. And we can talk about that. But I guess from a personal standpoint, again, what do you think when you think, oh man, these kids are going to go back to school, it's going to be hard to implement what the biggest challenge is, I guess.
I think that masks will be difficult, but I think the more that we can do to help our teachers and the students understand how it spreads would make them want to wear masks. So, you know, we know that it's spreading by respiratory droplets. We know that it's spreading by people talking or yelling or singing in close proximity with each other, and not so much being spread by surfaces or different things. You know, when it first started, we were like, let's wash our mail or our groceries or anything like that. But what the science is showing is that it's really that respiratory spread. And so I know after hearing from one of the doctors on our COVID team and him just saying, you know, those masks are really so important. Staying distant is so important. That's how you're preventing it. That's how you're protecting yourself and the others. And I think the more that people understand that, the easier that it is to have them wear masks. I think parents, you know, working with their kids, like you said, over the summer, getting them used to wearing a mask. I know we have been leaving our kids at home, too, and not taking them out in public as much. But as much as we can do to prepare them, maybe they wear it around the house for a few minutes at a time or something like that to get ready for school, that would be a good suggestion, I think.
Sure. So it's all about educating and kind of teaching them the new normal for going back to school. David, you're also a part of this process of returning these kids to school. Talk a little bit about what you're doing and your role and even across the Department of Health to help this process be as easy for the schools as possible, especially as it comes to educating them, like Brianna said, on the best ways to do this.
Yeah, so the Pennsylvania Department of Education, along with Pennsylvania Department of Health, they've released some preliminary guidance. This was back before July 1st on the reopening of schools, and they've released further guidance for the reopening of schools in the middle of July. And the Erie County Department of Health has teamed up with the IU-5, Intermediary Unit 5, which is all the school districts in Erie, and then I think some in Warren and some in Crawford too. And we've been in close contact with their superintendents of those school districts to work closely with how they can develop a plan to safely reopen in the fall. The Pennsylvania Department of Education did release kind of like a template that helps each school district walk through their plan, but it's not super specific. It gives each school leeway to base the plan off of their specific needs, whether they're a more rural county or a very urban county, and to have class either online, in person, or a combination of the two. So our main goal has been to talk with these superintendents and help them develop their best plan for their individual school district. And also we've developed a school strike team where normally we do inspections in October, November for schools, just normal health inspections. But we're going to be going in a little earlier this year and primarily focusing on COVID-19 inspections. So we've seen their plan. We've seen their plan on paper. But with these inspections, we want to see how they can implement that plan and see if it's realistic, if they can actually implement it in person. So if any school district has they've sent in requests for us, so for a day we'll go to probably the high school and maybe one other school and just see how they can implement these best practices in real life. And then if there's some sort of area where they're not so sure they're going to be able to meet all the guidelines, that we've been suggesting that they do a risk assessment to see what would be the most effective way to prevent the spread of COVID-19, just kind of like a pros and cons of different mitigation efforts. So yeah, we've been working closely with the schools and we've had good dialogue, and I think it's going pretty well so far.
I do think one important thing to note about those plans too is that they are public, and so the health department doesn't approve them. The school boards are approving them. They're submitting them to the Department of Education, but one requirement is that they are public. So a lot of the boards we're seeing are just voting on them now because so much has been up in the air, but they should be published to their website. They'll be being mailed out to the parents maybe. But the more that the parents or the caretakers can do to go ahead and look at that plan and really look through it and prepare their students again, will make that school year go more, I don't want to say effortlessly because we're all working really, really hard on it, but more easily maybe transition into what is going to be the new normal for school this year.
Sure. Now, you and I, Brianna, were talking a moment ago about a lot of schools are making their decisions now on whether they're going to return their kids, whether they're going to go to a hybrid model, or whether they're going to start the year and maybe for the foreseeable future being an online only environment. Recently, again, as of the recording of this podcast and on August, what is the day, 6th, the Erie City School District made a big announcement last night. Do you want to talk a little bit about that announcement and kind of your initial reaction to that?
So just my understanding of the announcement, I guess, is that they would be having all virtual school for the first quarter. Starting elementary school age kids back sooner, and then high school kids and middle school in the fall or in the spring. Seeing that announcement, I was surprised because they had decided on a plan, I think last week before, but also knowing some of the infrastructure in our schools could stand to be updated, and you know, air circulation and ventilation does seem to be an important part of COVID prevention. So, I know that that plan is not final yet, and I'll be curious to see how they progress with it to vote next week.
Sure, yeah, it's a big one, and it's gonna be interesting to watch how different schools. It felt like initially, and again, as someone who is married to someone that works in the education field, schools have kind of been watching one another to see, like, well, let's wait and see what they decide, and then maybe we'll kind of make our plan around what they did, but maybe tweak some of our strategies and things like that. Has it felt like that to you, where it's kind of like, wait to see what, like a game of chess almost?
I do think that. And so one of the schools on the eastern side of the state, in Bucks County, they had released a very early school plan that we don't know totally fit their risk assessment. And so then several schools were like, oh, we could just follow that plan. But as they've learned more, as more guidance has come out, each school has been, you know, kind of mirroring each other or seeing what happens. But with Erie being the largest in our area, I would be curious to see if other schools might follow their lead.
Sure. Yeah, it's really, I mean, like you said, we're getting down to weeks before schools return. And as David mentioned, you guys are already in the trenches and going into these schools now and doing these assessments and forming this strike team and things like that. David, what are some of your, I guess, not, I guess, yeah, what are your concerns about the return to school? And what are your, I guess, not only your concerns, but what do you feel okay about as far as what you're doing to keep the kids safe as they return? Because I'm hoping a lot of parents listen to this and feel at ease than knowing that you guys are doing good work and that these schools that are choosing to open up are ready for their kids and are set up to keep them safe. What's some of the things that you can put help to put their minds at ease?
Yeah, so I think the universal masking in the schools is going to help a lot. From the basic understanding is if you wear a mask and can maintain social distance and frequently wash your hands, the chances of contracting COVID go way down. It's just those three things, mask, 6 feet, and wash your hands. So we're really stressing to have a lot of hand sanitizer, really focusing on having kids wash their hands when possible for at least 20 seconds and frequently before they eat, after they eat. I think hand washing is going to be the most important thing. And then if they are able to maintain that 6 feet when in the classroom, then they can remove their masks. One of my biggest worries is just kids will be kids. We really need them to going to be quite a challenge. I don't really think there's a good answer, but we really need to have them comply, where they're be educated as much as possible, really encourage like fun mask making activities, kind of put a positive spin or a positive attitude onto the situation, just so it's not seen as such a negative and kids might want to rebel against it. But with the younger kids especially, it's going to be quite the challenge. You know, they're going to want to play, and especially at recess. So I think with helping the schools out here with all these requirement or guidance released from the state, I think that will go a long way. But, yeah, kids.
Kids will be kids.
Especially the younger kids. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be challenging.
It is, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely going to be challenging. You know, a lot of teachers out there are wondering how this adds an element to their job, right? I mean, it's hard enough to keep kids, quote unquote, alive during the day and teach them and discipline them. And now you're adding this element of sanitizing everything and making sure they keep their masks on. And there's a lot of funny memes out there, people making fun of, like, you know, kids that are trading masks and stealing masks and doing whatever. But it's definitely a fear that we can't, I guess, joke about too much. But, you know, Bree, you know, as a mother, what are you hearing some of the concerns from your and your child's not quite ready to go to school? But trust me, it happens faster than you realize. What are some of your concerns about the kids returning to school? Are they the same as most of ours, I'm sure?
Yeah, I think that they are the same. And I saw something the other day that did remind me to give students like a little bit of the credit too, though, right? So a lot of our, whether it's a public health campaign or a safety campaign, they start in schools, right? So like drug advocacy, or you remember probably the DARE presenters that would come in and, you know, drugs are bad and no smoking. I think the seatbelt campaigns had started in schools. So hopefully if we can get these students, and maybe, you know, earlier we were talking about messaging, maybe we need to make some more kid-friendly or school-age-friendly messaging that once the kids get it, then hopefully they can help some of the adults get it a little bit better too. So I think, I am concerned, you know, we send our daughter to a babysitter who watches some other kids that are going to go to school. Again, I just think that education piece is so much, so important. And the more we educate the students or the adults and just kind of work together to get them back to school safely would be the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a wonderful point. You're right. I mean, I do remember drug abuse resistance education as a kid. And man, if we can educate the kids, you know, that's where it starts. Because I do feel like, and I'm sure you can legitimize this statement, is that this is kind of a new reality for us. I think COVID's going to be around for a while. different variations of it. Who knows what the fall and winter will bring as far as combining that with cold and flu season. I know a lot of people are concerned about it. So if the education has to start with our children, because our children are the future, and if COVID is our future, then they need to be well-educated. So that's a great point. I think you guys are doing a wonderful job trying to do that, taking it into the school districts and telling them how they can educate and equip their kids to do the right thing. David, if you wouldn't mind, tell me a little bit real quick about how people, some of the resources out there for maybe the parent or the teacher that listens to this and says, all right, I'm in. I need some help, though. I need some strategies. I need some basic tactics to manage this new element of my world. Where are some good places that you can send them? Where are you checking in at? What's available in your, you know, your website or anything like that you can recommend some resources to these folks?
Yeah, probably the first place I would go is just the Center for Disease Control, CDC website. They have a lot of material and information with regard to going back to school. And then, of course, there's also the Pennsylvania Department of Health, their website. That's where all their... Actually, I think that's on the Pennsylvania Department of Education, and kind of in collaboration with the Department of Health. They've released the guidelines and the guidance for these schools. And then our website also, ErieCountyPA.gov, that also has some links for help going back to school. A lot of our material do reference the CDC and the state. And then, of course, definitely review the plan that your school board approves. It should be available online, and or yeah, they're technically they're supposed to put it online and have a copy, a physical copy at the school at all times. But definitely review that before your kids go back to school, and make sure your kids kind of have a basic understanding of that, just so they know what to expect. Like, example, you have to wash your hands at this time. Your preliminary screening, how each school is going to do that before the kids even arrive to school, just so the kids kind of know what to expect going into the first day coming up.
Good stuff. Brianna, what about you? Any other additional resources or places people can find information?
I know that earlier we talked about how new guidance keeps coming out and how that can get really confusing. On the Pennsylvania Department of Health website, sometimes there's actually more answers or more clarity in the frequently asked questions. And so if you go onto their site, they do have a search function, and you could search, you know, FAQs for schools or for restaurants. And those have been actually really helpful and do answer a lot of the questions that we have. You know, sometimes when those guidances come out, we are finding out at the same time as everybody else. And then we have contributed questions back that are included on those lists. So those are a good resource that really kind of breaks it down more than some of the legal jargon or the actual guidance does.
Sure. That's very helpful. We'll put some of those links in the notes of this episode so people can use them if they haven't already. One final question, I guess, to kind of end things here. I'm going to put you both sort of on the spot here, but obviously I'd love to have you both talking again, maybe in 3, 6, 9 months. What do you think? We'll start with you, Brianna. What do you think? What do you think our world's going to look like? Not to put pressure on you, but from a, you know, what do you see as? I know we overuse this term, the new normal, but if you're sitting in this seat in 6 months from now, let's say, to do an updated episode on our schools in particular, let's maybe limit it to that. Where do you think we'll be in 6 months? And do you feel comfortable, confident, at least making a prediction or even a hopeful prediction?
I think the only prediction that I have really is just that masks are going to be a thing. We've seen it, you know, in a lot of the larger countries in the world, with more population. And, so the more that you can embrace them and, get used to wearing some kind of face covering, I think the better place that we'll be. I don't really have a prediction for schools. I mean, I'm watching just as closely as everybody else what districts are going to do and what their plan is. And, you know, their plan could, we'll know if their plan works when they do, or if they do get a positive case, and then how they respond to that is going to be really important to see where we're going to be at in the next 6 months.
Sure. No, it's a great insight there. And David, what are you hopeful of for maybe a conversation we have in 6 or 12 months from now?
That's hard to predict. That's such a loaded question.
I wasn't gonna let you off the hook easily.
I wish I could tell you what's gonna happen. This isn't going away. Mm-hmm. And once you just accept that, that's a big step. It's masking, social distancing and hand washing is just going to be embedded into our society. One good thing is all this masking, hand washing, and keeping distance should also help with the flu season coming up. I know with the flu season, people are worried about the combination of the flu and COVID, but with all the mitigation efforts in place right now, that should also correlate with helping to prevent the spread of the flu. And then they're really pushing the flu vaccine this fall. So if you get a chance to get a flu vaccine, I recommend that. I wish I could tell you that all the schools will be fine and there won't be any closures, but with sports coming back, with the Major League Baseball, and they're having some outbreaks, I think that's kind of interesting because they have millions of dollars on the line. So they're doing all the testing that they can, and they're taking all the precautions that are needed. And just seeing some of those teams with the outbreaks that are coming, it's definitely going to be challenging for sports in the fall. I do have my doubts about that. So, it's not going away. Maybe, 18 months, hopefully everything's under control, but I'm thinking about this time next year, it still might be around.
Sure. Well, I've heard what I predicted I would hear, and that's both of you pretty much say this is not going away, and that you guys are doing your best to share that information and education with people. And I really appreciate the work you guys do. I want you to know that. And that's why I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk, because I want people connected to me to hear this and know that there are resources available to them, especially as it pertains to returning to school and just going out to get a coffee. There's ways that people can mitigate this, and you guys are doing a wonderful job educating everybody and also keeping us informed and encouraged throughout all this, because like I said, there is a lot of information out there, and it's good to know that there are people that are providing accurate information and have our best interest in mind. So I appreciate what you guys are doing. Thanks for taking some time to chat today, and I will definitely hopefully be having another conversation with you in the future. We can talk about life in a different aspect, but I'm sure we will probably be continuing to have this conversation around COVID and hopefully continuing to teach people ways that they can prevent and slow the curve. So thank you guys both for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.